Okay. Today's daf is daf Samech Beis in Menachos. Good morning, everyone. Today's the daf of Tanufa, right? All your questions about Tanufa are going to be answered today. Okay, that of course is not true, but a lot of your questions regarding Tanufa will be answered today. We are on Samech Alf Amid Beis, and we're at the we got to the two dots. Okay. Mishnah is the springboard for this whole discussion, because the Mishnah back on Samech Alef Amid Aleph talked about those things that require Hagasha, those things that require Tanufa, those are the things that require one of the two, those things that require both, and those things that require neither. Okay? And all the way back to Samech Amid Aleph, the Mishnah already started this discussion. A lot of Karbanos require Hagasha, but do not require Tanufa. That's the Mishnah on Samech Amid Aleph. The Mishnah on Samech Alef Amid Aleph says, here's a list of things that require Tanufa, but do not require Hagasha, and the Mishnah started giving us a list. The things that the Mishnah listed were the Log Shem Hashem Mitzorah Vashemo, Karban Hashem of the Mitzorah together with his Log Shem that he brings together with it, the Bikurim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Bikurim required Tanufa, Imure Shama Yachid V'chazi V'shok Shalahem, Imurim, which are, I call them the innards, right? That's again a nondescript word describing the guts and the insides of the karbanos, right? The insides of an animal are brought up onto the mizbeach, not all of it, right? Just a select part of the insides. The chaylev, the fats. When we say fats, we don't mean the drippy stuff, right? That's a very scientific term. We mean there are hard fats over the organs of the animal. When we get to chulin, we'll have a better biological sketch, anatomical sketch of what exactly these fats are. These are called the chalev. So in plural, it's called chalavim. So these are what the Mishnah refers to as the imurim. Imurim of the Shama Yachin, together with chaz v'shok shalahem, together with the chaz v'shok. The chazay is the chest of the animal, the front part of the animal. And the shok is the right leg of the animal. They require tanufa as well. And then the Mishnah went on to say, this is true by men and women, but not by acherim. So the Mishnah made a very cryptic statement. Today we will be discussing the halachas of tanufa and what exactly the Mishnah means by this cryptic statement. And then we'll do a little bit more of the Mishnah today as well. Okay, but today's topic will be, from beginning to end, the discussion of Tanufa. Samech Alef Amid Beis, we started towards the two dots of the page. We just finished yesterday the Gemara, right, where the Gemara discussed the mitzvah of Tanufa by Bikurim. Right, the question the Gemara just dealt with at the end of yesterday's daf was why say according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? There are other Tanaim who feel that Bikurim need Tanufa, not just Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And the final thing we ended off with yesterday is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is Mishnas Kav Venaki. He's such a preeminent Tana. He says so little, but the little that he says is so significant. So therefore, when we can attribute something to him, we'd be much more inclined to attribute something to him. We go on in the Gemara, Samech Alef Amid Beis, about 10 lines from the top of the page. Imur Yisham Yachid V'chaz V'shok Shalahem Echad Anashim V'Echad Anashim B'Yisrael V'lo B'Echemim Mai Ka'amar. So the Gemara now just wants to know, simple question, what does the Mishnah mean? What does the Mishnah mean when it says, men, women, right, of B'Yisrael, of Allah B'Acherim? What does that mean? So I'm Rav Yehuda Hachi Kama. So Rav Yehuda will say Vipsha, meaning over here it's plain, it's simple. There will not be a preponderance of positions and opinions. One simple Pshat in the Mishnah. Hachi Kama. Echad Anashim V'Echad Anashim Karban Taun Tanufa. So first of all, everyone's carbon requires a tanufa. We want to say everyone, meaning here men and women. If a man or a woman were to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, a shlamim, their carbon would require a tanufa. U tanufa atzma bi Yisrael v'lo bi dei nashim. But who does the tanufa? So that's what the Mishnah is also discussing. The person who does the tanufa is not going to be the woman, it's going to be the man. Okay, that is the pshat in the mission. That's according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, good. So in other words, what comes out now is that there are really two discussions in the Mishnah. Right. Mishnah is not clear about this, but after having learned Rav Yehuda's pshat, we're going to say this, and we're going to see the Brice, and the Brice is going to say it straight out. There really are two discussions. There's a discussion of whose karban requires tanufa, and then there's a second question of who actually does the tanufa. So whose karban requires tanufa? So that's everyone, men and women. there's a mitzvah of tenufa regarding the carbon of both men and women. Who's going to actually do the tenufa? So that's going to be men and not women.
It doesn't fit the word
so well. Yeah, it doesn't. Avalo al yidei acherim, and acherim is a cryptic allusion to women. I don't know. I don't know how it fits into the words. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, okay, now that we said the Peshat according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll see the Braisa is much clearer about it. B'nei Yisrael menifim, v'ein ovdi kochavim menifim. So first of all, a Jew does tenufa, not a non-Jew. B'nei Yisrael menifim, v'ein anasha menifos. Right? A Jew, a Jewish man will do tenufa, but not a Jewish woman. Am Rav Yossi, matina shechalak ha-kasu, ben karban liso, karban ovdi kochavim. L'karban nashim bismicha. Now, Rav Yossi says, look, there is a mitzvah, another type of mitzvah that you do with a carbon called the mitzvah of smicha. Smicha requires you to place your hands on top of the head of the carbon and to apply pressure onto the animal. This is while the animal is alive, not after the animal is dead. And this is only done by B'nai Yisrael, by men, and it's not done by women. Here, the mitzvah itself is done by men and not by women. This is a mitzvah of smicha. So yachol. So now that we've established that there is such a distinction, in the mitzvah of smicha, yachol, I might have thought, nachlok b'tenufa. The same distinction should exist in the world of tenufa, meaning that men have an obligation of tenufa and women do not. So that's a hava mina, lo. The Gemara says, "Mali chalak b'smicha shasmicha b'balim nachlok b'tenufa shehatenufa b'kohanim." You don't make such a distinction, and I'll tell you why. Because in the world of smicha, smicha has to be done by the owner of the animal. The owner of the animal needs to do smicha. So you can have a man doing smicha, but you can't have a woman doing smicha because that's going to require her to have done smicha in the azara. Can the woman be in the azara? Right? It's not the place for her. So in other words, smicha is a pragmatic issue. It's a logistic issue, meaning that smicha has to be done by an owner, and therefore the woman and the non-Jew cannot do smicha. However, tenufa is done by the Kohanim. So tenufa is more in line with things like shechita, Kabbalas Hadam. Shechita is not a good example. Kabbalas Hadam, right? Holacha, right? Zrikas Hadam, right? That's a Kohen. That's a Kohen operation. So once it's a Kohen operation, so now... okay, I thought that was me. Okay, we're good. It's an operation of the Kohanim. Since it's an operation of the Kohanim, so now we're going to say that everyone's karban is obligated in this mitzvah of tenufa. Imkein matam alam b'nei Yisrael. So now that Rav Yossi gave us a very basic understanding of why smicha and tenufa are not the same, so then what is the Torah trying to say to us when it says b'nei Yisrael? Regarding the mitzvah of tenufa, it's the direction of who does the tenufa, not who's obligated in tenufa. It's all obligated in tenufa. It's not going to be a function of who actually does it. It's going to be B'nai Yisrael. It's not going to be the non-Jew. It's not going to be the woman. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braisa. Second verse that the Gemara is going to quote, which is going to point to the same idea. B'nei Yisrael, ain't li ala b'nei Yisrael. Gerim, avad, de mishuchrarim, minayin. Tamalomer, hamakriv. The hamakriv is pointing to the idea that as long as it's offered, so you're going to do the mitzvah of tenufa. Wa'enu ala zeh kohen hamakriv. Kishomer, yadav tivienu harei ba'al imamur. On the other hand, it says Yadav Tivienu. Yadav Tivienu seems to be pointing to the owner of the animal. So Haketzad. So the Gemara says, so now, somewhat mixed signals of the Torah. On one hand, the Torah points to the idea that the Kohen is going to be doing Tenufa. On the other hand, Yadav Tivienu is pointing to the owner. So how do I resolve this discrepancy? So the Gemara says, we've seen the idea already before in the Gemara. So hand over hand, right? The Kohen places his hand under the hand of the owner, and he does tenufa. Period. Okay. So that is the end of the amud over here. We discussed yesterday, right? Hand over hand. Right, we did the Tosos yesterday. Tosos asked a question about chatzitza, right? Right, hand over hand. So that means that somebody's hand, it sounds simple pshat in the Gemara, is that the Kohen's hand goes under Yeah, the Gemara says it straight out. Kohen's hand goes under the owner's hand, so the Kohen is not actually touching the carbon. If Tanufa is an avoda, like in the world of Zrika, so you actually need physical contact between the hand and the carbon. So if the Kohen's hand is under the owner's hand, so what happens to Chatzitza and the rules of Chatzitza? So you remember we did Tosus yesterday. Tosus suggests, first of all, when it says Tachas, you don't have to understand the Gemara so literally. Tachas does not necessarily mean under, it means next to. Okay, that was one pshat within Tosfos.
Is there any significance of the use of the word yadav, plural, and not yadav?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there's if it points to something. We also pointed out in Tosfos yesterday that, and he quotes a Rashi. Tosfos quoted a Rashi yesterday that comes up later on in the Masechta, that really fundamentally the mitzvah of Tanufa goes on the owner. Even though it's funny, when you hear the Gemara that I just read for the past 5 minutes, you didn't get that impression. Right? You really didn't get that impression. But Rashi says that the mitzvah of Tanufa is fundamentally on the owner. So the fact that the Kohen's hand is underneath the owner's hand, so what? It's not the Kohen's mitzvah fundamentally, it's the owner's mitzvah fundamentally, so that would be okay. Right? It's a difficult Rashi to hear because the Gemara over here makes it sound very clearly that the whole mitzvah of Tanufa is a Kohen mitzvah, not an owner mitzvah. All right, and then Tosfos, right? We enjoyed the end of this Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos talked about the Sota, right? Now that we know that the mitzvah of Tanufa requires both the owner and the Kohen, so how do you do the mitzvah of Tanufa with the Sota? So Tosfos at the end quotes the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi comes up with a couple of suggestions. Okay, we did that yesterday. Let's go on in the Gemara one. Samech Beis Hafan Alpha on the top of the Amud, Ketzad Oseh. Okay, now we're going to get. I told you the end of the fifth parak. It's going to be very technical. A lot of just basics like practical, like how do I do it? Okay, here simple straightforward question: how do I do it? How do I do the mitzvah of Tanufa? Meaning, what's involved in the mitzvah? So, we start off with the following. This is still a continuation of the Braisa from the previous Amud. Oseh meiniach imurim al pisa sayad. So you start with the imurim. Okay, so that's the fats. The fats get slapped on the hand of the Kohen. Okay, it can't be that enjoyable. Right, but it's a mitzvah. So again, it's not, right. Everyone has
sandals.
It's a solid. These are solid fats.
You didn't have latex.
Okay, correct. It's a no. When you're a Kohen, you get your hands dirty. So you put the fats right onto the hand, and then chaz v'shok aleihem, and then the chaz and the shok. These are the pieces of meat. These are the cuts of meat that are ultimately going to be given to the Kohen. Remember, this is a regular shlamim. We're talking about a regular shlamim of an individual. Everybody gets a piece of the shlamim. The owner enjoys most of the meat of the shlamim. The mizbeach enjoys parts of the shlamim as well, the imurim, the fats, excuse me, fats and the two kidneys go up onto the mizbeach, and the kohanim enjoy cuts of meat of the shlamim. In fact, Rashi brings down in Chumash, that's one of the reasons why it's called a shlamim, because it creates peace, shalom. Everybody gets a piece of the action.
No pun intended.
Really, here, no pun intended. But it's great, though. It's great how it works out, right? Everyone gets a piece of the action. This is a shlamim. So the shok and the chazeh, right? The leg and the chest of the animal are going to be given to the kohanim. Additionally, they're involved in the act of tanufa. So the way the Braisa describes it, here's the hands of the kohanim was about to do tanufa. So first, slap the fats on his hand. Put the chaz v'shok over that, and that is the first order of business. And as we'll see in just a moment, it's not the first order of business, but the way the Braisa presents the information sounds like the first order of business.
He's got to be a strong guy.
Pisas means the palm.
Oh, the palm.
So, apisas hayar v'chaz v'shok aleim v'chol makom sheish lahem alechem milamala. Now, sometimes bread is involved. Like the carbon toda. Carbon toda, there are 40 loaves of bread, so there's going to be bread involved. So in addition to that, fat, meat, bread on top of that. Okay, now all this, by the way, it's funny. I get a lot of the questions of, you know, how the Kohen can do all that. In the place in the base of Mikdash where bread lasts for a week on the Shulchan and doesn't go stale, You know, people then ask, well, how can the Kohanim do that? It's the Beis HaMikdash. Things can happen in the Beis HaMikdash. It's
on
not...
Which hand?
It sounds like both.
He says he puts it.
Someone else is going to put... we're going to see. We're going to talk more. Someone else is going to be doing the placing. Chaz v'shok aleim v'chom makum sheish lechem lechem alamala. Heicha. So the Gemara says... where do we see this? Where do we see that bread goes on top? So the Gemara says, "Bimiluim." We see it regarding the miluim. My tamilim and b'shem dechsev. So now, the parsha of miluim, which is not one which gets often discussed for a very simple reason. It was a one-time event. The miluim was the inauguration of the Mishkan, and it was a historical event. Right? We don't have miluim on a daily event. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But even if we did, miluim is just the inauguration. So yeah, maybe we'll redo the whole miluim process when the third Beis HaMikdash is built. Looking forward. So in the miluim, it actually describes the placement and the waving that was done during the period of the miluim. And the Gemara says the bread was placed on top. So the Gemara says, let's make sure that that's true. My time, Eli, Mishim Dechsiv, Shoket Shuma, Bechazet, Tenufa, Al, Ishei, Hachalavim, Yaviu, Laniv, Tenufa. So, I'm sorry, before we even get the bread involved, even before that point in time, the Gemara just wants to know what's on top of what fat versus the meat. Okay? Right? Fats versus the cuts of meat. So we have one pasuk which is very helpful. It says that the Shokat Shuma, Bechazet, Tenufa, Al, Ishei, Hachalavim. Perfect. That's exactly what we wanted to see. That the cuts of meat go on top of the fat, which is going on the hands of the Kohen. Okay, that's great. The Haksiv, however, the Gemara says, I will show you another pasuk, which says, that's a chelav ha'ala ha'chazeh yivienu. That chelav goes on top of the meat. Okay, that's not good. That's a problem, because that's exact opposite order of what we expected to see. Amar Abai, so the Gemara answers like this. Ha'hu d'maiste le'kon mi'beis ha'mitbachayim v'ramilei. Okay, so we're going to now introduce our second Kohen into the process. Where you go to the Beis HaMitbachayim. Beis HaMitbachayim, this is the Azara. The Beis HaMitbachayim is over here. This is the Shlach House. So this is where all the cutting up was done. Animal was shechted. It's a shlamim, so it could be shechted anywhere. It doesn't have to be shechted on the northern side. But it was after shechted, it was brought to this area over here. There are hooks, there are tables. Right? Tables, hooks. There's area over there where you can work with the animal. You got to strip the animal, you got to flay the animal, you have to cut the animal up. So there, the Kohen who did all that work, the way he would order it would be fats on top, meat underneath. Now this is very good, because then what he would do is he would hand it to the Kohen. So now everyone picture. He would flip it over in order to put it into the hand of the Kohen. Okay. Brilliant. So now, this is a bai. This is a bai. Gets credit for this. So now, second Kohen is going to be doing the mitzvah of tanufa. He's going to be doing the waving. He's going to have the fat on the bottom and the meat on top. Okay, perfect. That is how we're miyashev these two psukim. We're not done yet. We have a little more work to go. The haksiv. We have another pasuk. Vayasimos echalavim al hachazos, and you place the chalavim on the chazeh, okay. Right? Chazeh, the cut of meat. Right. So, okay, we have a third pasuk, and this third pasuk says we're back to the fat on top. Now we're going to involve a third kohen in the process. And that means that after the second kohen does his waving, he then is going to give it to another Kohen. In that transfer, again, same process. It's going to be a flip. So now the chalav is going to be on top. Meat's going to be on the bottom. Now, v'hakamash malan, and what's the whole point? So the Gemara says the point to all this is the be'inah shlosha kohanim. We want in this mitzvah of tenufa, by design, we're going to have three kohanim involved. Why? Mishum dechsib Rav Ham Hadras Melech. Because there's an idea of Rav Ham Hadras Melech that in the multitudes there's more kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you get more people involved, right? How many Jews do we have involved in this process now? We have three Jews involved. Three Jews is a big deal. Right? You get three Jews involved in something, so it's a big deal. So where else do we find three Jews getting involved in something being a big deal? Zimun. right? Right, seventh parak of brachos. The Gemara over there says that what shlosha shalchu kachas. If you have three people eating together, so that's it now. Rov ham hajos melech. So now you create a zimun. So
you also have the mammon shlosh.
Right. Well, that's right. That's a legality in terms of money and transfer of money. But here, though, in terms of now it's a bigger deal, right? You see that by three people eating together, another bracha is added to benching. Right, benching is usually made up of three brachas min haTorah, one bracha derabbanan, and then three people eat together, a whole new bracha is added. It's a short bracha, I understand, but it's a whole new bracha. The Gemara bracha says it's that beginning, that Baruch Shachar Mishalo, that's a bracha bifnei atzma. It's considered its own independent bracha. So you see that once three people get in the act, it's a big deal. Ushtei alechem ushtei kivsei atzeres. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, let's go on. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, we are going to go to last week's parsha. And we're going to talk about now the mitzvah of tenufa in the context of the kivsei atzeres. Okay, so we've now discussed at length tenufa for a regular shlamim. Okay, we know tenufa involves the fats and the meat. We have now basically explicated the whole process of three kohanim involved, and it does clear up the discrepancy between the psukim. What's on top? It's the fat on top, or the meat on top. So it depends on which kohen you're talking about. The kohen that actually did the tenufa of a regular shlamim, a shama yachid, has the fat going on his palm, meat going on top of that, and that's when he does the tenufa. But now we go to Parshas Amor, and we talk about the mitzvah of tenufa for the karban on Shavuos.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What happens to the bread? All this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that also. The bread is going to get a little bit of gravy on it. It does.
Raw bread. The bread is also burned.
Special gravy, huh?
The bread is also burned.
No. The bread is not burned. The bread is eaten by the kohanim.
Yeah, the bread is not put in before, because otherwise, every time you flip, the bread will be on the bottom.
But on the
toto. No, it seems. Right. Right. What we were discussing was only meat and fat.
Right.
The bread is touching raw.
Right. Yeah. It's so funny. Everyone's bothered by the bread. I'd be more bothered by the chalev. Chalev is usur. Mm. Right? The chalev, you're not allowed to eat chalev. So the chalev is touching. No. The chalev is going to go up onto the mizbeach. You know, in other words, okay, it's
I understand. Take the bread out and then everything else is burnt?
Only the chalev is burnt. The chazav eshok is not burnt. Tenufa. Okay, you're walking in with a false assumption. Let me just correct one thing. Just because you do tenufa with it doesn't mean it's going to get burnt on the mizbeach. Tenufa means for whatever reason the ratzon habare is certain things need to be waived. Okay, not all the carbon needs to be waived, and not all carbonos need to be waived. But certain things need to be waived. Just because it's waived doesn't mean it's going to get burnt on the mizbeach. Chazav eshok. Right, the chest and the leg of the animal is not going to get burnt on the mizbeach. It's going to be eaten by the kohanim, but for reasons which I don't understand. But it's a ratzon habore. God wants us to wave the chazav v'shok together with the chalev, together with the fats of the animal. The bread is not going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Bread is going to be eaten by the kohanim, or in the case of toda, it's going to be eaten by the owner. And again, it's for reasons demanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to get waved.
Just before it's put on the mizbeach, it's separated, right?
Right. Well, after the tenufa, then everything will go to its rightful place. On Shavuos, there's also a waving. Now, here we spent already some time talking about these psukim. We go to last week's parsha, and we are in. I'll start in pasuk chaf. Perek chaf gimel pasuk chaf.
The bread is going to have blood on it, and
eating
the blood is.
You're right. That's correct. Correct. The blood is also the chilav is also okay. These are issues. If I'm not giving a solution, but I'm just going to give an approach. If the fat's on the bottom and the meat's on top of it, so maybe was the meat already salted? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's leave it right now. That's a very good question, and I don't want to give just a thoughtless answer. Okay, so let me think more about it. Perek chaf gimel pasuk chaf. Heiniva kohen osam alechem abikurim tenufa lefnei Hashem al shnei kvasim kodesh laHashem lakohen. On Shavuos, so there's a whole assortment of of karbanos that are brought in conjunction with two loaves of bread. Two loaves of bread, as we've talked about already a number of times, we are in Menachos, this comes up time and again. These two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos are chametz. Contrary to the general rule of Menachos, where it's brought matzah, two loaves of bread which are brought on Shavuos are in fact chametz. And tenufa is required with the two loaves of bread. Now, there is a long list of karbanos that are brought together with the two loaves of bread. That takes us back up to Pasuk Yud Ches. The Pasuk says, V'yikraftem al alechem, together with the bread you're going to bring, shiva kvasim temimim, seven sheep, b'nei shanah upar ben bekar echad, and one bull, and a lim, shnayim, and two rams. You ola l'Hashem, and mechassam, and iskei mishereich nechoch l'Hashem. Now remember, we already made this point very clear. The karbanos mentioned in Parshas Amor are not the same karbanos mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas are your musaf karbanos. It's going to sound the same. We already made this point. Because there are seven sheep involved, but instead of two rams, it's one ram. Instead of one bull, it's two bulls. And even the seven sheep, it's not the seven, it's not the same. Those are different karbanos than Parshas Pinchas. Those are your musaf karbanos. These are your shtei halechem karbanos. You would have thought, the Gemara today is going to make this point. You would have thought that the mitzvah of tenufa is going to require all these karbanos to be waived with the shtei halechem. Now, in terms of the physical capability of the Kohen, I know that's difficult to hear, but you would have thought that. Then Pasuk Chaf comes along and tells us, that's not true. By the way, Pasuk Yates, I just don't want to leave it out, because we're here. V'asisim siri zimechal l'chata, shnei kvasim b'nei shana l'zevach shlamim. A goat for a chatas on Shavuos. Every yantav has your chatas. Although, again, I guess we'll make the same point. This is not the same chatas goat as in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is a musaf chatas goat, and this is a chatas goat for the bread, I'm assuming. Then, two lambs, these are your shalmei tzibor. Again, the other thing that is unique about Shavuos is that this is the only time that there's a shalmei tzibor, shlamim brought by the community. Every other shlamim that's brought is brought by an individual. This is shalmei tzibor. I guess maybe you can add Pesach to this discussion. It is a shlamim and it's brought, but it's brought by individuals, although the Gemara at times does call it a carbon tzibor. Okay, anyway, here's what we need to focus on now. The Torah says, you're going to wave them, al lechem habikurim. The them is a reference to the two sheep, together with the two loaves of bread. Tenufa lefnei Hashem al shnei kvasim, kodesh yel Hashem lakohim. Okay? Now, the Gemara over here is going to deal with minutia. Good minutia. Ushtei alechem ushtei kivsei etzeres. Tanu rabbanu ve'inif ha-kohen osam al lechem ha-bikurim. So, what's going on top? Two loaves of bread on top of the two lambs on top of the two loaves of bread. This is not going to be easy. So, yachol, yenich kvasim al gabe ha-lechem. So I might have thought that I should put the lambs on top of the bread. Tamul omar, al shnei kvasim. The Torah says it's over the two lambs. That makes it sound like the two lambs are on the bottom. I al shnei kvasim yachol lechem al gabe kvasim. So I might have thought, okay, so put the bread on the lambs, right? It's a good havamina. The Torah says it. Tamul omar, al lechem habikurim. The Torah also says it's all the same pasuk chaf. Al lechem habikurim. You put it over the bread. Okay, by the way, just make sure that we're clear about the picture that we're all looking at right now. The lambs are alive. Okay, the lambs are not yet shechted. Okay, these are live lambs.
Should be washed.
I'll say, hose down. Okay, so, nishtakel hakasov. So the Torah does equate the two. Meaning, the Torah basically confuses us. Not, right? And you'll see. I'm trying to modify my statement, but no, the Torah is going to confuse us because on one hand the Torah says it's al lechem habikurim, and the Torah says right.
So we don't know.
Also, vehinif kohen osam al lechem habikurim al shnei kvasim. So which one's going on top of what? Okay, the ein yodeim lechem agabe kvasim in kvasim agabe lechem. So now, simple question. We know what's involved in the waving on Shavuos. We know it's the two loaves of bread. We know it's the shnei kvasim. That's the part we know. What we don't know yet is which one's going on top. So the Gemara is going to make a point that we've heard already this morning, and that is the bread goes on top. We find that by the miluim, That bread goes on top. So we're going to say over here, the bread goes on top. So hey, chamera papa b'miluim. So opinion number one, okay, and there's going to be four of them. Opinion number one is that the bread goes on top because it's precedented. We find it by the miluim that the bread goes on top. So here also the bread's going to go on top. Okay.
And this is a Kohen. This is one Kohen. Is this?
I just. Done twice anyway, right?
What does that mean, twice?
One with the dead animals.
We're going to talk. Right, correct. That is correct. That's right. It's a good point. But right now we're just talking about while it's alive.
But this is one Kohen carrying two lambs.
Yes, so right. I assume one Kohen, right, with the ability to pick up one lamb. Two. I'm sorry. Two lamb and two loaves of bread. So that is opinion number one. I'll point out very quickly that the miluim is a one-time event. Usually we say we don't learn out mitzvah ladaros from a mitzvah sha'a. Okay, that is an issue. The Gemara does not raise it here, but I'll just point it out. Opinion number two. Rav Yosi ben Amishulam Amar Kvasim Lamala. Nope, sheep go on top. Poor bread. Kvasim Lamala. Umani mekayim al shnei kvasim. So now, good. So sheep going on top. So what are we going to do with the pasuk of al shnei kvasim, which makes it sound the other way? No, I'll tell you. Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam says, the pasuk is coming to tell us the following: lahotzi shiva, because I might have thought that look, the Torah says I'm going to wave the sheep with the bread. Now, how many sheep are involved? It's not just two; it's 2 plus 7. Because there are 7 sheep, there are olas that are mentioned in Pasuk Yud Ches. I might have thought those sheep also should be involved in the waving. So the brain froze for just a moment. Al Shnei Kvasim tells us that no, only these two sheep are to be waved. In terms of positioning, however, sheep go on top. Okay, that was opinion number two.
Are these whole sheep?
Yeah, these are live animals. Okay, opinion number three. Chanina ben Chachinai Omer, Meniach Te'alechem ben Yarkosov Shel Kvasim Umeinif. Okay, this opinion is going to be the most shocking opinion of the four opinions. So you know what? If it's Esher L'Kayim Shneim, if I can somehow orchestrate it so that I'll fulfill both Psukim, do it. Now look, this is a concept we've seen a number of times, where if I have two psukim that seem to indicate two different procedures, and I can do both, so do both. Remember we talked about, right, there's the lifnei Hashem, and there's the and there was the requirement to do it, what was it, to the south, and then we did it in the southwest. Okay, so in other words, if I could do both, so do both. So here also, so put the bread between the thighs of the animal. Now remember, the animal's alive. Okay. Yeah. And that's how you can be mekayim the shnei mikros halal lechem agabe kvasim kvasim agabe lechem. So Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe's going to make the comment which I think intuitively all of us would have made. Right, which is lifnei melech basav adam ein osin kain. Right, if you were to think about it, if you were going to do this in front of a king, melech basav adam, is that really right? In other words, your gut, is that really what you would have done? Lifnei melech malchei amalachim akadosh baruch hu osin kain. So you would have done that in front of a akadosh baruch hu. Ela miniach zebet zazel miniach. So Rebbe gives us now the fourth opinion, which is side by side. The habi'inan al, so the Gemara says, okay, but the Torah's instructions are al. Now, al usually as a preposition means on top of. Amalei Rav Chista le Rav Hamanun, Amalei Rav Hamanun le Rav Chista, Rebbe le Tame. This is Rebbe. Rebbe's consistent throughout Shas. Rebbe tells us that al does not necessarily have to be on top of. Al could also be understood as next to. Damer al besamach detanya v'nasata al amareches levona zakar. You put on the ma'areches levona zakar, right? Rebbe Omer al besamach, and Rebbe says that I usually say that when the spoonfuls of bezichin go on the lechem upon him, it goes on top of the lechem upon him. I say that because the Torah says the word al, and al usually means on top of. Rebbe disagrees, not with me, not with me, because I'm. I'm not in a position to say anything. But in other words, but with the other Tanaim, Rabbi disagrees and Rabbi says, no. I'll show you, says Rebbe, that the word al does not have to mean on top of. Look, there's something called a parochis. That's a wall. That is a vertical wall that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Torah says in describing that wall, Visakosa al ha'aron es ha'parochis. And you're going to put the curtain over the aron. Now nobody says that the curtain is actually placed on top of the aron. It's not a horizontal curtain. It's a vertical curtain. What do you do with the word al? Al means next to. That's it. So you see over there that al means next to. So throughout the Torah, whenever you see the word al, you don't have to assume that it means on top of, it can mean next to. Rebbe says that regarding the shnei bazichim, the two spoons by the lechem upon him. Rebbe also says that regarding the tenufa of the shtei halechem and the kifsei atzeres. They don't have to be on top of each other. They could be next to one another. And according to Rebbe, by the way, Rebbe accomplished exactly what Rav Yossi ben Meshulam wanted to accomplish, which is keep both psukim. Rebbe did it, holding it side by side. The other Tanaim don't like Rebbe's approach because they feel al means on top of, but according to Rebbe, you're mekayim shnei psukim, you accomplish both psukim.
That would be the answer in the other one? Oh, I'm sorry. That would be the answer with the other one. You wouldn't get blood on it.
Yeah, in other words, right. According to Rebbe, right, all your logistic issues, which I have no answers for, in terms of blood on the bread, chalev on the bread, right, all that becomes resolved as well. They're not touching one another.
What's the word next to besides al in the Chumash?
Right, if the Torah...
About? Also.
Yeah, that's a good question. If the Torah wants to express next to, but the Torah uses that word? Al-Yad? Al-Yad is a good one.
Karo.
So the question becomes, why not using Al-Yad instead of Al?
Karo.
How we know that which Al is on top of which Al
right.
is next to?
Right, okay.
The word Al-Yad means like something that's right.
Look, clearly, three Tanaim, meaning in this Brisa that we just learned, three Tanaim do not propose what Rebbe proposes. So, I mean, Rebbe's a chiddush.
This makes no sense. How can we interpret each al, which one it means?
Right, right. Okay. Again, good questions.
It's a very al, I think, can also mean because.
On account of.
On account of.
Right. Okay, let's go. Continuing the Gemara. I'm sorry, I left a lot of questions on the table today. Molech umevi mala umorid. Okay, tenufa. The mitzvah of tenufa requires you to go. Now the words translate molech umevi, back and forth, male umorid, up and down. Now, if you look at Rashi, I'm going to show you a couple of interesting things over here. Molech umevi, Rashi over here immediately writes. Now, I am unsure. I'll tell you what. Before I read Rashi, I'm doing this out of order. Let me first read the Gemara, and then I'll go back to read Rashi. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Molech umevi lemi sharucho shalo, malu umorid lemi shashamayim va'arit shalo. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll tell you a pshat. What is this? Meaning, what is Tenufa all about? Right? And not only that, but Rabbi Yochanan's explanation over here is given to us after we learned about the directions. There is a horizontal direction, right, back and forth, and there's a vertical direction, up and down. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, so I'll give you a pshat. Molech umevi lemisha arucho shalo, right? The horizontal corresponds to the winds. Right? Winds go horizontally. There's an eastern wind, there's a western wind. Right? You hear about the winds. Winds is in a horizontal direction. So therefore, you wave horizontally. Lemisha arucho shalo. Now, immediately in your head, you're going to be thinking, this is about the winds and the rains, and not yet. Meaning, that's not Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan just simply says it's a function of recognizing who controls the wind. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sure. And the vertical up and down, that's Shamayim Va'aretz, Lemi Sheha Shamayim Va'aretz Shalo. To whom heaven and earth belongs to, meaning Hashem. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the waving is all about a recognition of Hashem. That is Rabbi Yochanan. Bima'arava, wait, almost. Bima'arava masnu hachi. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they say it a little bit differently. Now, I don't know what that means, by the way, because Rabbi Yochanan's from Eretz Yisrael. So it's like, usually when this is presented to us, meaning the Bavel, the Amoraim from Bavel give one pshat, and then in Eretz Yisrael they give another pshat. Right. Here it's Rav Yochanan and the and Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Somewhat of an issue, but...
Tanayim.
Right. Other Tanayim. Right. Other Amoraim. Correct. Be-ma-rav ha-mas-nu-ha-chi, am-ra-bi-cham, ar-ba-ukva, am-ra-v-yosi, b-ra-v-chanina, molech u-mevi k'dei la-atzor ruchos ra'os, ma'ala u-morit k'dei la-atzor talalim ra'im. Here we go with the pshat that I'm sure you've heard, but this is really the second pshat in the Gemara. Second pshat in the Gemara is that the horizontals stop the bad winds. There's ruchos ra'os. There are good winds, and then there are bad winds, right? The Gemara elsewhere talks about which direction of wind is bad, which direction of wind is good, right? And the waving, so to say, prevents it.
It says all four.
And then the up and down, that's for the rain. Talalim ra'im. Now, we could look at Rashi. Rashi writes Molech Umevi. So I think, I'm not 100% sure, that this Rashi is going on the second Pshat of the Gemara, not the first Pshat of the Gemara, because the first Pshat of the Gemara was all about just the simple recognition of Hashem. Molech Umevi, Rashi writes, Safon v'daron u'mizrach u'ma'arav k'day la'atzor ruchos ra'os ha'baos me'arba ruchos. Okay? So even though the Gemara says Molech Umevi, Rashi actually gives four directions. Right. And it makes sense because there are four directions where the wind can go or come from. Malo mori latzor talalim ra'im abay milamala lamata, and then the next Rashi talks about the stopping of the rain. Okay, now let's take a look together at Tosfos. Tosfos over here writes like this: Shema, perhaps second Tosfos on the page. Shema lo bechol tenufos osin kain eladafka betenufa shoshtei alechem da'atzeres. Okay. It could very well be that there is a... Look, we've talked now about the mitzvah of tenufa in a number of contexts. When an individual brings a shlamin at any time during the year, meaning you want to volunteer and donate a shlamin to the Beis HaMikdash, it's yours. It's yours to volunteer, and you do so whenever you want. You can go in the middle of the summer, you can go in the dead of winter. Right? There's no time in terms of when to offer it. And what we've learned is that there's a mitzvah of tenufa. The Kohen does tenufa. Now we're talking about the Shtei HaLechem and the Kivsei Atzeres, where in Parshas Namor there's a mitzvah of tenufa as well. This mitzvah of tenufa suggests Tosfos maybe the different tenufa, meaning the tenufa that requires up, down, and four directions. Tosfos suggests that maybe this is a different type of tenufa. It's unique tenufa than the other tenufas during the year. Now, what Tosfos does not tell me, or tell us, is what is your standard tenufa? Meaning, if this is your special tenufa that's done specifically on Shavuos, so how is a regular tenufa done?
Already having Sricha, though, so the tenufa is something extra over and above the...
But it's a mitzvah. No, it's its own separate mitzvah. Tenufa is its own separate mitzvah. It's not in conjunction with another mitzvah. It is. It just simply is its own mitzvah.
Each shlamim has a tenufa?
Each shlamim has a mitzvah of tenufa. That's what the Mishnah taught us.
And the Torah has tenufa.
And the Torah will have tenufa. Right? So, imuri shami yachid v'chazi v'shok shalahem. Okay? So, I don't know. In the suggestion of Tosfos, I understand where he's coming from, and I'll explain better in just a moment, but I don't know then what's your standard tenufa? How is that done? Okay? And Tosfos says... Now, I made a small mistake. I should have read on a little bit more in the Gemara. Because let's do that. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the Gemara, and then we'll go back to Tosfos. Amar Rav Yosef Rav Avin Zosamer Shayare Mitzvos Ma'afin Asaparanios. First of all, what do we see over here? Shayare HaMitzvah, right? The residual of a mitzvah. Leftover of a mitzvah, tenufa. Tenufa is a mitzvah. Make no mistake about it. But it's not essential. If I fail to do tenufa, carbon's still a carbon. I still get credited for having brought the carbon. I get a kapara. It's not ma'ake, but still it's a mitzvah.
It's not a ma'ake.
And look at the value of it. It's ma'ake if it's a peronios. It'll stop the bad winds, it'll stop the bad rains. The tenufa shayare mitzvah v'hiva otzeres ruchos ra'os v'talayim ra'im. Okay. A quick comment of the Gemara of how valuable is even Shayari HaMitzvah. Now, more in the Gemara. Amar Rabba V'chein Lulav. The same thing is true regarding Lulav. Just like we do Tanufa regarding the Kiv Se'at Saras and the Shtei Alechem, we do the same thing regarding Lulav as well. Well, a little bit more Gemara, and then I'll go back to Tosfos. Rav Acha bar Yaakov mimati leu maisi leu machvei hachi va'amar gira be'ene desidna. The Rav Acha bar Yaakov, when he would do his na'anuin, his shaking of the lulav on Sukkos, so mimati leu maisi leu, he would go back, he would go forth, umachvei hachi, and he would say while doing his tenufa, he would say gira be'ene desidna. Now this goes right into your eye. Oh, Satan! V'lav milsihi. But the Gemara says, "Don't try this at home. Right? Don't do that." Right? Mishum de asila asguriebe. You know, Gemara says this a lot of times. Don't start out with Satan. Meaning, yes, that's what it's going to. Right? It's going to that is what you're accomplishing. But don't say that, because then you're starting up with him, and that's not who you want to start up with. Okay, now let's go back to Tosfos. This is the way I should have done it to begin with. Okay, now Shkidei La'atzer Ruchos Rao. Second Tosfos on the page. Shemalo bechol tenufos osin kein. It could very well be that this is not the tenufa that you do year round. Year round, you do a basic tenufa, not the up down, all around tenufa. Just a very basic tenufa. Eladafka b'tenufa shel shtei alechem de'atzeres v'chein lulav. Maybe only in these two occasions, Shavuos and Sukkos, do you do the advanced tenufa. Mishum de'amrina b'perakama de Rosh Hashanah. Look, let's go to the very beginning of Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah says over there, the gazer din nechtam bePesach al tfuah baAtzeres al peros haIlan uvechag al hamayim. Because look, right now it's funny. Right, Pesach, by the way, this pshat, which is a beautiful pshat, somehow leaves Pesach out of the discussion. But there's nothing. I guess there's nothing to wave on Pesach. But okay, put that point aside for just a moment. On Shavuos, we're judged for the fruit, right? Because Shavuos is a time when the fruit are going to blossom in. So we do a special tenufa to make sure that the weather patterns are going to be beneficial for the fruit. Sukkot, the rain. So, and Sukkot's rain is coming. So we do the special na'anuin on Sukkot that correspond to the good weather that we're looking forward to on Sukkot, because Sukkot we're being judged on the rain, on the water. Okay? Well, now we're going to make a small adjustment in Tosfos over here, and that's why as far as the shaking of the lulav, we're going to go in all directions. We're going to go horizontally and we're going to go vertically as well. Okay, fine. I'll stop at this point in Tosfos. Just know that you go around in Sukkot and you see people doing their na'anuin, and no two people do their na'anuin the same. Right? Some people just simply push it back and push it forward. Some people push it forward, do a little bit of shake, and then bring it back. Some people really... Okay. So you everyone has individualized their na'anuin. If you look further in Tosfos, you'll see that he has a discussion about... Right? Gemaras and Yushalmis that indicate that I have to go three times. There's a question of how to count three. One, two, three. Or is it one, two, three? And you'll see further in Tosfos has those discussions, and it's not clear. I mean, Tosfos brings down numerous opinions exactly what is the correct procedure for the Na'anuin. Okay, but anyway, that is a discussion in Tosfos. So basically now, let's say it like this. There's basically two levels of tenufa. There's standard tenufa, and then there's advanced tenufa. Standard tenufa is done according to Tosfos. This is all based on Tosfos. The Gemara does not say this. There's a standard tenufa, which is done for your regular Shama Yachid. Regular Shama Yachid, where I take the fat and the cuts of meat and I do tenufa, meaning Kohen, does the tenufa with that. So Tosfos says that's standard tenufa. Then on Shavuos and on Sukkos, Shavuos with your shtei alechem and your lachmit and your kivsei atzeres, Sukkos with your lulav, right? By the way, you get the sense that the lulav is carbon like in this regard, right? You hear that. So for your for those two occasions, so Tosa says that's where our Gemara comes in, and that's where we have advanced Na'anuin, which is the directions, the four directions, and up and down. And that's because Tosas explains that on those occasions we're being judged agriculturally, on Shavuos on the fruit, on Sukkos on the water. I know what does that leave Pesach? I'm unclear about that. I don't have a pshat. But that Tosas says is why we do advance Na'anuin on those two occasions.
She would have not said for Pesach.
Right. I was thinking that also. Okay. Okay.